This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
The Custer's Black Podcast, whatever that is.
We're back. We're back, B.
Again.
How you been? You all right?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad.
Just coming around quickly now, isn't it? The old...
Yeah.
How long is it now?
If we're lucky, a month.
Fuck. Nervous or you're right?
No, we're all right.
I'll be shitting myself, I would.
He says now because it's not happening yet. But funnily enough, she's just been doing a lot of like... I got her this one of those like medicine balls. And she's been doing like her exercises on it, and she's doing like a YouTube workout on this ball bouncing about, and she's like, I'm gonna stop because I'm reading some of the comments here, and it's like I'm 33 weeks, which is what she is, and like I went into labor that night, sort of thing, or like I had my baby 2-3 days later after doing this workout. She was like, I'm gonna stop now.
Well, at least you ain't. I say I'd be shitting myself. I had a mate. He actually listens to this, to be fair, or he says he does. This will be how I find out. And I'm pretty sure when his missus went into labour, he passed out and he's in the kitchen sink or something like that. So as long as you ain't that bad. Mate,
but... Nah, I think I'll be all right. I'd like to think we're pretty well organised, which is a bit of a new one for me, being so organised. Like, got everything we need in that sense. She could probably go into labor tonight and have the baby tonight. We've got everything we need. Like, it's just it is just a bit of a waiting game now.
Well, if we release a 5-minute episode, then you know what's happened.
Yeah, so, I know what's happened. There's a knock on the door in a second. I know the reason why.
This is the first podcast just me and you have done since the start of this little pre-season.
I can't believe how quick this season's gone. Yeah, it's been there's been a lot of changes in my personal life, but at the start of the season going on to football, I was on a self-imposed boycott, which a lot of people are fully aware of. For obvious reasons, I'm not gonna, you know, bore everybody again with the details, but it's been a strange season. It's been the least amount of games that I have been to, some through choice, then others through just being generally like a lot busier. It is just part of growing up, and you do have to make some small sacrifices, but hasn't made me any less of a fan. Like, I've still been able to watch from afar, but yeah, the season's flown by, to be fair. But I think it's because there has always been something happening, good or bad. there's always been something happening. And you know, we're going into the Easter period now, which is virtually the end of the season. But what have we got? 6-7 games left?
Yeah.
I think it's only six now. It's gone insanely quick. And we've still, I don't think we will, my personal opinion, I don't think we will make the playoffs, but we've still got a mathematical chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which, given the 10-point deduction, is a pretty remarkable achievement.
It's unbelievable, to be honest. Really. I'm the same as you, really. I think that chance is gone. I was always a bit, I'm not going to say negative, but maybe a bit more of a realist when it comes to it. But yeah, he's still technically on, of course. You keep going until it's impossible. But it's just so for me, them 10 points, I know it's the obvious thing, but come on, like, if we have them, we're in the playoffs. We've 15 players for half the season.
We'd have 62 points, which would put us seventh, because we've got a better goal difference than Halifax.
So
we'd be in the play with our 10 points back. We would be in there just.
But yeah, yeah, but that, I think that's in the playoffs with 15 players for half the season. You know, less than that in some games, obviously. Yeah, players that, you know, I've sort of touched on this in another, like, before, but players that they've come in and been decent. I think, like, Crowford was good and stuff, but ultimately players that weren't the first choice target, and we're still seven. That to me is mind blowing. It actually, I can't get over that.
It's just frustrating because it's another year in this division. At least, obviously, there's no guarantees of what you're going to go and do next season, but it's at least another year in this division. But I think my only hope for next season, we just spoke about it very briefly before we started recording. I want to go into next season, next pre-season, and I don't have to mention Ron Martin's name. I want that. There needs to be a clear line in the sand drawn this summer. It's gone. It's done. Everything from that era is well and truly in the past. We cannot start another season with that hangover, because ultimately that is what's cost us this season.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well talk about it now. I guess it kind of is the elephant in the room, because we almost made a promise to ourselves. Not a promise as such, but it was kind of a, whilst the taker hasn't gone through, it's almost a bit, not pointless, that's a completely wrong word to use, but a bit, you know, that got announced on, what was it, October, that you know, it was, we were talking, obviously, with Justin Mkhitaryan. Then the day of the Kidderminster away game, it got announced that it's going to be going through. And okay, don't get me wrong, they're obviously putting a lot of money in, and that's unbelievable, really, because I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't do that unless I was as a billionaire, to get my point. So fair play to him, but technically speaking, Ron Martin is still the custodian of the football club. Ron Martin's name is still on the club. And as you say, it's frustrating, but if it goes through like this month, next month, at the very latest early June, then it is what it is. But if that goes any longer than that, all right, they're putting their own money in now, but surely it comes to a point where they go, well, we would give you, say, 50 grand for a player, but actually we're going to hold off because we still don't own the club. And already at that point, if that happens, they might not. They might be so confident they think, you know what, sod it. Well, we'll still put, we know we're getting the club, so we'll do it. Great if that's the case. But if not, we are still playing even a 2% catch-up again.
It just has to be gone. You can't have anything remotely attached to Ron at the start of next season. Even pre-season, we didn't have a pre-season this year because of
no pre-season.
You factor that in as well. We had no pre-season. It just can't happen again. It cannot happen again. I don't want to come on here and just sound really miserable talking about stuff that I've already spoken about, because I don't want to do that either. But it just can't happen again.
I don't think it's a case of being negative or miserable, right? Because it's almost the opposite. It's like, once he goes, as far as I'm concerned, like, already this squad has already proven it's good enough to be top seven. And we all know, we'll go on to it in a bit, we all know we need to improve in areas. But already the spine of this squad, or the core of this squad, is good enough for a top seven finish. They've pretty much proven that now, right? Once he's gone and we can add to that, it's going to be an unreal season. Pressure's going to be on big time. I say we will move on to it, but that's if he goes.
Yeah, the pressures and the demands just change.
Yeah, it changed. There's never pressure.
Sort of,
no, of course. That's the reality. I don't want I'm going to sound like a bit of a dick saying this, but everyone agrees with it in that sense. That's the reality of being a big club in a small pond, so to speak. You know, we're one of the bigger clubs in this league.
It's a bit, I get what you mean. It is a bit cringy to say it, but it is going to be true next season. Particularly, you know, Chesterfield are gone. The whatever two from the three that it's looking like coming down from League Two will do nothing. They'll be nowhere near it. I would actually say confidently, Southend United will be the biggest club in the National League next season.
Over Oldham?
Yeah, I think so.
You think? I do think.
Yeah, I think so.
But yes, that's only like one club still. Do you know what I mean? That's only like one club difference in that sense. Do you know what I mean? It's not like when you say you had like knots and you stop.
When I say that, I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about the size of the club, the size of the fan base, things that will hopefully be going on, size of the budget. I'm talking everything. I think we'll be the biggest hitter in that league next year if the takeover goes through as we all expect it to.
Yeah, I think certainly it'll be one of the most attractive club for a player. Like you say, takeover, new training ground, stadium being
developed. Yeah, new training grounds actually properly being done.
It's all positive, isn't it? Rather, like, you know, Oldham and Simon, I guess, as well, in that sense. You know, they've got a new own, newish and, you know, whatnot. But in that, it's saying
they
that sense,
still sit, there seems to be a little bit of, they're not very stable with their, like, management.
I think it's demands for fans, though, as well, a bit. That's not a big, we're the same, but it's them, they're expecting
we'll
to be top
to
three. they're expected to be top three, you know, and when it's not, it's frustrating, you know. We're similar to that. So, but yeah, just sort of, I guess, pretty summing up the takeover. You know, it's obviously a matter. We'll go into it in a lot further detail when it goes through. I'm not just glossing over this, but obviously it's unbelievable news when it happened. You know, we've spoken about it a little bit before. It just needs to go through. Fair play to them putting money into something they don't know, because I wouldn't do it.
I don't think I would. And I even as a fan, which I know there's a few of the guys are fans, I still wouldn't be doing that until it was mine.
Yeah.
I guess it might just be a bit, I don't know, if you're faced with the possibility of I can either put some money in or see the club that I support go bust, then it changes things.
I guess like you're saying, without knowing obviously their personal wealth, really, I guess they've obviously in that sense got a bit of money between them, you know, so... Yeah, maybe it is money that they've obviously done the risk analysis of it and gone, that's all right, we can do this. But I say we'll sort of finish that. Yeah, let's finish the takeover talk there. But yeah, obviously, as a result,
we will come back to that when it is
definitely
actually
and
done.
It will obviously come back in conversation during this anyway. But
try and get Justin on
that.
Once it all goes through, we'll try and get Justin on.
Yeah. Obviously, once that went through, and again, it got announced it was going through. So the embargo was lifted pretty shortly after. Brought in Morton, Crowther, Waldron, Sandat, and Dackers as well. Was that them five? Anyone else? Just them five.
No, I think it was just them five, yeah.
Yeah, them five.
I think that was proof enough that it didn't need huge changes. There was a good nucleus there. There was just no depth.
Yeah, literally that.
We never needed to go out and get like 10, 11 new players. It was just depth, which I think we recruited quite well on the whole. I think we recruited pretty well. We are, even before that latest embargo, when we got this football department in sort of October 21, I think it was, we're sensible. We do seem to be quite sensible with what we do. There is clear sort of pathways to what we're doing. We don't go and watch a player once and go like, oh yeah, he'll do. There's a checklist. There's like a 3 or 4 game checklist where they'll go and scout a player. We've never had that, I don't think.
No.
I don't think we've ever had that.
No.
So yeah, I think we made good signings, we made smart signings, we made signings that there's a lot of longevity with the permanent signings that we made. Then you've got the couple of loanees that have come in. I think at the point in time that Dacca's come in, Card was out injured, so it was just a little bit of cover. And I think Henry Sandat's come in because Powell's still injured. So again, it's just sensible. You've plugged gaps that needed to be plugged, and you've still you've still built towards your future as well with the permanent signings that you've made.
Yeah. I think you've summed up pretty well there. Probably pretty much how I view it as well. They're all sensible signings. I think of the five, I'm most impressed with Prowther. You know, he's one that looks to have come in, and to me, he's almost like a nailed on starter. Or certainly something. I say nailed on. It's tough for the back because you know we've obviously got the best defensive record. You know, Ralph's the skipper. Taylor's been arguably player of the season, and then that leaves you with Kensdale, who I think he fits the system well how we play. I do think he needs to be more physical as a centre half. I'd always say that. I think he needs to be more dominant. You know, that sort of that real, you know, basically he needs to be like a Mbappé, to be honest with you, for his age. I think he still needs to be that more dominant centre half. But he's key to how we play. Crowther looks to me someone that can slot in to replace Kensdale in that sense and be that player. We were calling this the day after the Woking game, and I should add he was absolutely dreadful yesterday. without calling him on that, they were all dreadful. That's just it was just an on-end game. He's the one that looks to me. I've gone, he's a bit of a serious player there. Morton to me looks a bit of a backup, I'll be honest with you, to Miley. I don't see him really playing anywhere else apart from that where Miley's role. He's played as a, you know, an eight a few times. I'm not getting it. I don't think he really fits that, to be honest with you.
I think the game. What game was it? It was one of the Tuesday games. I think it might have been Dorking, where he played Cav and Morton sitting a bit deeper, and it let Nor go further forward. And for me, it was Nor's best game of the season because he had that more license to go forward.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't ever class Nor as a 10.
Yeah, he's not a 10.
I don't know if that night it was just the opposition sort of weren't up so much on the day or whatever it was. But yeah, it all seemed to click. That midfield three that night all seemed to click. I thought it all complemented each other well. I do think that Nor is a little bit wasted when he plays that bit deeper. I think he's got a bit more to play further forward on a more regular basis. And yeah, if the signing of Morton can allow that to happen, so you're not replacing Cav, you're playing them alongside each other. And if that's the version of Hussein that we get out of it, then I certainly wouldn't mind seeing that midfield free again.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I think that night for me is probably more the opposition. Like you say, he played further forward that night, and he did look well. Of course, he was the only attack-minded midfielder that day, and he did have a really good game that day. I thought he was by far the man of the match, but I don't see him as that 10. So I think we're good enough to play with just one sitter, and then let Nor do what he did against Dorking, but just in midfield, just alongside someone else. I don't think he needs to do it on his own. You know, it's giving more license. I think we're good enough as a team to sort of rely on Cav, although he's formed dip since he came back, to be honest. But I think he's good enough to say, you do it on your own. You sit there and then let someone else play alongside you. But I do get what you're saying with Nor. But when he played Cav's role in the season, actually, he was really good when he sat there. He was really good in that role. So he can do it. Again, we'll come on to it, but I think that's where the signings are really important in the summer. I think you've got to get that right balance now. And we're all, you know, I think anyone can call it. We need better attacking players. Now, I think it's as simple as that. We've got a great defensive core now, or certainly a style and players that understand their roles and that sort of thing. We're probably just missing more of a link up, maybe with attacking players, maybe a bit more flair, a bit more pace, you know, that sort of stuff. It's just attacking minded players, really. So
I think that it is a little bit of flair, isn't it? There's not. Look, I don't. We've both just sat and said that we think we've got a very good nucleus of a squad. So I'm not saying that, again, wholesale changes need to be made, but I think you are missing that player that's going to get you on the edge of your seat, that real exciting player that can just change a game for you in a second. I don't think we have that. But I think we've got very good players, and we've got goal scorers in the squad now. Like, what's Cardwell got? 14, 15 goals this season?
Something like that.
Gus has got a few. What was it? Six. I think Bridge has got the same. there is goal scorers in the team. There is exciting players in the team. And just it's that something different that next season sets you apart from finishing fourth or top.
Yeah.
And I think that's there'll be that player in Chesterfield squad.
Yeah.
You know, that's what needs to come in.
I don't know who he is. No, he's spot on. I mean, we would have said about this time 2 years ago, we probably would have said Dan Mooney to be that player, and that obviously didn't work out. But that, in that sense, the sort of player that when you watch him, you go, he's exciting. And that, ironically, he was that player. But obviously now, it's we've obviously done that, and it really didn't work. But, you know, probably, you know, we're not going to go into that. But there is obviously other players that fit this system that can still do, you know, that will still keep up their level performances rather than having to fit into our system. You know, we can easily pluck players from other teams that fit this quite easily, I think. Yeah. So, I mean, actually, we'll sort of jump on to that, actually. I mean, where do you think we've brushed it there, obviously, like attack-minded players. But where do you think we need to improve? Like, what is the position? What are the positions you feel like, let's get this and that?
I think it's up top, because I look at the longevity in the players that we've got. Callum Powell's currently injured. I know he might make some sort of comeback before the end of the season, but we'll see. Cardwell, for as good as a season as he's had, he picks up little knocks and he does miss chunks of the season. It's not to say I don't rate him, but to get out of this division, to go and do it properly next year by trying to win the title, you need players that can play 45, 50 games. So I'd be looking to mainly strengthen up top, because that is where, that's the position. If you were to look at and go, where are those players missing those games? Like where are we not getting that level of consistency? Like you look at someone like Gus, Bridge, you know, Kensdale, until he got that recent injury with his like cheekbone or whatever. But these, they're going to roll out every week. They've got that in the tank. They've got the fitness levels. They don't have the previous injury problems. Where we are still having to rotate is up front. So yeah, that's where I'll be looking to strengthen.
Yeah, I went as far as saying I think we need three strikers. Someone sort of went three, and I said, but when you think about it, you've named it there. You've got Sandat, you've got Dakers, you've got Powell. And actually, you've got Waldron, who's only on a year's deal after this, and then Cardwell, who gets injured. Some people might be a bit greedy there. Might even say four. I mean, it might be a bit over some of that one. I think three strikers. Mm. You know, maybe two permanent, one loan.
Yeah,
you know, something like that.
You're not sure how Callum Powell's going to come back after this injury. His game is based around high energy and pace. He's had a very bad knee injury. Some players don't come back the same after that. He's only got a year left, like going into next season. He's going into his final year.
I think he's out of contract.
Is he?
I think so.
Well, do you know what? That's an interesting one then, because you might go, look, let's leave it there. He's got, well, like any player, there's pros and cons. There's been games recently, ironically, that I've watched, and maybe even that game on Saturday was an example, the Woking game, where you think, I'll tell you what, he'd get us further up the pitch. The way that he plays, of course, we've spoken about it many a time, that he is quite wasteful with certain chances that he gets, but he gets us up the pitch because he just plays the game on the front foot. Again, you take into account that bad injury, given a new contract, because you're going to give at least 2 years. You're very rarely going to give a year and it's going to get accepted. So would you back after a pretty serious knee injury, would you go straight into that and go 2 year deal? I'm not sure.
I think you're right. I doubt it. I think if you're being generous, you'd say a year would be option. And that's probably being generous, but it's just the harsh reality of a contract renewal when you're injured. But you could argue, does he deserve some loyalty for what he showed us? But equally, he was out of contract. It's a tough one to work out.
It is tough. It depends what we've got lined up. Because as spoke about there will be players on our radar, no doubt, it's how confident we feel, you know, we can get, you know, our new targets in. And if you were faced with the probability of getting all of your targets, would he play anyway?
Yeah, that's probably where I'm at, really, if I'm being fair. I think similar with Wes, actually.
To answer the question, I think that's, I don't know on that one, because he seems to, I think he's going to get released for what it's worth, but I do think he seems to be a little bit of the fall guy.
Yeah, I actually do rate Wes as a player. I think technically he's good. I think he links really well with attacking players. I think the issue that he's going to have in the way that we play and the way that Kev probably wants him to play is, if you compare the stats between Cav, Nor and him in terms of their on-the-ball work, recoveries, interceptions, pressing, that sort of thing, they're going to be miles ahead of him. And I think that's where he's going to struggle to sort of, you know, prove his worth in the team. I mean, for what it's worth, though, I mean, when we're playing three at the back and then with three centre mids, I don't really care if you've got one that's not necessarily making the ball recoveries or whatever. I think you need one that's going to be a bit more attack-minded. So yeah,
you need one that's got that bit of licence.
Yeah, exactly that. But equally, for as much as I say I do like, and of course every player in the National League is replaceable, of course, I'm not saying that we don't have anyone that's not replaceable, but he probably is the one that I would look at and be like, you probably can get better. You know, especially, you know, can you get better than North Sim? Probably. Can you get better than Cav? Probably. But I do really rate Cav. He's had a bit of a dodgy 2 months, I've said, but I really rate him. I really rate North. As much as I like Wes, I'm not going to say I really rate him. I don't necessarily rate him above them two. So he's probably the one where, as you say, the fall guy is probably a good word for it, but one where, if we haven't got the ball for a bit, maybe it's really obvious sometimes he's off the ball work, he's lacking a bit. I think it's clear that, and that's where he's going to struggle. In another system, in another team, I think he'll be a good player. Well, certainly in another system anyway. I think he'd be a really key player, which it's a shame. I'd give him another year myself. I think, I'm pretty sure he's out of contract. I would give him another year, but I'm going to guess he's one that's going to be moved on, but I might be wrong.
Well, I think as well, you look at, we've done quite a lot of business at tying down those onto new contracts that we obviously want to keep. The only one that hasn't, that we surely would want to, is Gus. So I think other than that, you would look at those that are out of contract and think, well, everybody else is re-signed. And I have, so read between the lines. We've done our business early, tying down those that we want to. So if you've not been offered something or the conversation isn't happening, you're probably getting moved on.
Yeah, I'd like to think some sort of conversation has happened, even if it is a case of that we're just going to fix the, give you an extension or whatnot. You know, I would like to think, even if it is that we are going to let you go, I'd like to think some conversation has been had, because, you know, I think any player that stayed deserves that. I think they deserve. Yeah. If they're being let go, I actually think it's a bit harsh, but. There is still, you know, what's the word I'm looking at? Yeah, there's that saying, you know, there's no sort of loyalty in football, and that potential would come into that bracket.
There isn't, sadly.
But equally, you know, there is going to be a huge demand for promotion. So, as I say, he's one that I would have to improve on, of course, but, and that's an area I think we need to sign. Again, that's attack-minded midfielder. Bit of a lazy one there, and he's probably more of a 10, but, you know, someone like, almost like a Jack Payne. Like you're talking about that get you off your seat type player.
Yeah.
Someone that would fit. And then, you know, at this level, he could probably play in centre midfield alongside Nor and be fine, you know, because he is probably that technically above everyone else. But just that someone who can link between that midfield and midfield and attack, and we go from there. I mean, what's your opinion on the shape? You know, is the shape an issue for you? Or I personally don't care about the shape, but there is certainly moments in games, yesterday probably being one of them, where you think, should we change this up and be a bit more, you know, should we try and get an extra body out wide or something? Yeah, that sort of moment. So I think maybe just being a bit more expansive would be my issue, personally. But I don't know if you feel the same. Or...
I think it's the personnel within the shape. It's similar to what we've been speaking about sort of all night. It is mainly that extra man in midfield, or whoever the second striker is, because it's if he's fit, it's going to be Cardwell and another. And the main reason for that being is because Cardwell's the top scorer, and you're still rotating at the moment trying to find the best partner. But I think that sort of expansiveness, if that's even a word, within the current shape needs to come from that extra man in midfield and their link-up play with the front two. I don't think there's a massive issue with the shape right now. If it's next season and we're not where we would like to be after the first few months, I'm not saying you make a knee-jerk reaction after the first few weeks, you've got to give it some time. Then you could maybe look at, do we need five at the back? Do we need three centre-halves? Can one of those bodies be pushed further forward? And you get that extra man either out wide or in midfield or in a proper number 10. Not an eight that plays further forward. You've got an out-and-out number 10. Yeah, those are all things that you look ahead to in next season.
Bit of a boring conversation topic there, because that's literally my opinion as well, really. Yeah, I just there was a game, I think it was the Wollstone game. And obviously we had a really poor first half. Obviously, I know you were talking about before we started. We had a really poor first half. And second half, to be honest with you, second half, we actually were good. If you remember, it was where we decided to just head every shot, or just let it hit our head rather than actually head the ball. So the amount of chances we squandered that night was a joke. I think the last 15 minutes, we switched to a back four. I'm pretty sure Cav went into left back. Then it was, from left to right, Cav, Brown.
There was something weird up in that night, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think the midfield was up Bridge. I think it was then Coker, Hussein, and then maybe Wood on the right, and then up front, whoever it was, Dakers and Sandow, I think it was in the end. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me was, this isn't me saying I think we should go 4-4-2, by the way, it's not that at all. I just thought it was really impressive that we've got players, and mainly it's mainly Shane at Cavern, actually, that can go into left back and understand how to play left back for this system or for us. I think that's so important that we've seen players this season play out of position in other positions, mm-hmm. and they just understand the roles. I think that there's other players or certainly other teams that if they were to ask their players to do it, probably where they're not as well drilled as us, they wouldn't be able to do it. And I just think that's a massive. I think that's such a massive like compliment to the players and the coaching team. I've personally never. This will be, you can debate this and people disagree with this, is fine. But technically speaking, I've never seen sort of football on as much detail at the South End team as we see it now. Yeah, there's been probably maybe say more. There's been times where it's been more entertaining. Maybe say Saturday, yesterday for example, was dreadful. It was awful. There's no defending it. But in terms of like the system, everyone understanding their roles, the fact that people can adapt, I've actually never seen anything like it at Southend. Paul Sturrock was very direct football. I liked Paul Sturrock football, a lot of people didn't. I liked it, but it was very direct. It was percentage based, get it in the final third, keep it there, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Brown, I'd say, was actually quite similar. Actually, it was quite similar to that. It was probably, keep it in their final third. Bit more technical than that. That's not me. That's me being a bit harsh there. But, I probably couldn't really tell you what Bond, Moles, or Cam were in, really. So
neither could they.
Well, that's my. I've missed that powerlift, fair. And I'd argue power was similar to Phil Brown football. People would disagree with that as well, but I'd argue it's similar again. So I think technically speaking, it's a good level of football. I think the issue would then come from some of us when we have the games like yesterday is ultimately we are a National League team and with National League players.
Yeah.
And we're talking about we need the extra quality. Of course we need that extra quality. Once we get that, I genuinely do believe that we're going to be a threat, like a big threat to this league.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the sign is going to have to be key. I was actually, I won't mention his name. I was speaking to someone at the club and they were sort of saying their frustrations about not fan expectation. I didn't say that. It's, the expectation, I understand. Sometimes the fan,
I know
for want of a better, for want of a better word, it, almost the lack of understanding, for want of a better phrase there.
Yeah.
And it's this person said that it's like the best group of players that I've, the best in terms of like their character and stuff, best they've ever worked with. They were like, but ultimately, the understanding needs to be that they're National League players. you know, he said it's all well and good saying, you know, they're not like Freddie Eastwood, they're not like Adam Barrett, they're not like Kev Mayer, you know? So he said, but ultimately, the reason they're not is because of National League players. He was like, so one, he went, once we get, he went the three or four bits of quality, he was like, this team are going to absolutely evolve. And I was like, that's so pleasing to hear from someone at the club, you know, so.
But those building blocks are clearly in place.
It's basically, if you look at it now, it's like yeah, the core is so decent. You add that little bit more, and all of a sudden you can just go to levels that you sort of didn't think you could. And I think that's where we've got to have that hope for next season, because we mentioned it before, but pressure's on next season. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, the pressure's off now. I don't give a shit. You know, some of the reactions I see to drawing with Woking, it was dreadful. I'm not going to say it wasn't, but do you know what? In that sense, I actually don't really give a shit, because we're probably safe and we're probably not going up.
Are we probably safe?
Probably isn't, definitely.
Oh, Christ, but we ain't going down.
Yeah, it's going to be some turnaround if we do, from the team below us to overtake.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We could in theory, not win again for the rest of the season. But the teams at the bottom ain't picking up that sort of form. They all need, like, Chesterfield form to now stay up. It ain't happening.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, I think the squad, management, whatever, they've built enough credit in the bank this season alone to have off games, you know. All right,
but it's not what you just said there. Is what, we're in the National League. You're going to have off days.
Yeah.
You're going to have off days. No one's actively trying to have a bad game. They're National League players. Like, for as good a team we are, it's difficult, because it's hard to say what I want to say without sounding like a bit of a hypocrite. But we are a good side. But at the moment, that's it. We ain't a great side. So. And they are a very likeable group as well. So that makes this probably a little bit harder to say. But you're going to have off days. You're not going to have every game where you turn up and everything clicks. You're going to have a couple that are going to be off the pace for whatever reason. And ultimately, that is why they are still National League players. Do I think the nucleus of this current squad could add these four or five bits of quality around it, and we can be a real threat next season, a real like title threat next season? Yes, I do. But there is also a reason why not a lot of these players have played higher. They're National League players, and you do need to remember that as well.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Definitely. That's such a key point, I think. And you know, I actually kind of want to move on to actually talk about Kev for a bit, because he obviously, he started to get a bit of stick recently. And I don't know why, but we want to talk about it. And he had a little nibble back the other day, didn't he? A little bit.
Yeah, good.
And that's exactly what I said. I was going to say, what's your opinion on it? But I mean, it's the same as me, I think. I mean, it was there was a sort of a hypocrisy in what was being said. So it was, you know, obviously he's obviously fed up of hearing the sort of shouts from behind him. I mean, I've been hearing all sorts of reasons. Yeah, like, I mean, it's not even that, because, you know, we forwards. All get a bit giddy. Yeah, it's the forwards and the, you know, I'm hearing people shout tackle now, and it's like, come on, mate, like, you know. he's obviously had enough, and he's had a little bite back, and you know, people were saying, you know, I don't think he should turn around and have a go at us. And it was like, well, so what, you can shout out your shit, but he can't have a go back? Is that right? Is that how it works? You know, surely if it is a two-way street, I actually can shout forward, and he can turn around and tell me to fuck off. Do you get my point? If it's a two-way street, surely that's how it works. If it's not, I'll shut the fuck up and he will still do it and then we'll sit there and just, you know. So, I mean, yeah, I just found it amazing that, you know, this he's on course to be the most ever capped manager, player, whatever.
Yeah, it's just a short memory.
If he gets promoted next season, it'd be two as a player, one as a manager, right? Will go down surely as the biggest legend of the club. And yeah, by all means, question certain decisions, maybe. And of course, that's football. But my God, some of the stuff I read is unbelievable.
I've said it so many times over the last couple of years. It's just so over the top. Like, either way, it's just so over the top. Like,
yeah, I mean,
we've drawn a couple now. We've had a couple of 0-0 draws. And, you know, it's all, oh, we're shit now.
Yeah. Now, you say you can have bad games. Yeah. I think if you look at the Willstone, Dagenham. Yeah, Willstone, Dagenham, and yesterday, Woking. Yeah, you could argue Chuck Oxley, actually. Well, no, there's Chuck Oxley because, let's face it, they've been relegated.
Yeah.
Of course, that's ifs and buts. But do you know what? Apart from yesterday's game, the majority of them three games there, we've been the dominant side. Oxford, we battered them. Willstone, battered them. Dagenham, all right, we should have been about 4-0 down, in fairness, but we wasn't. Second half,
battered. The goalkeeper to thank for that one.
Yeah, he had a blinder, you know, and in fairness, second half, battered them. Okay, so realistically, apart from Woking, we've had good moments in these games. Ifs, buts, and maybes, you turn them draws into wins. What's that? Is that 8 wins and 2 draws? Something like that? I say if, buts, and maybes, but, and that's where that extra quality, when it comes in, you'll get that.
You turn those draws into wins, you've got 7 or 8 more points.
Yeah. I appreciate that's me trying to put a positive spin on it, but ultimately, that is how close it is.
But that is what you have to do, because even in games that were, the couple of 0-0s recently, the narrow defeats, we haven't been battered all season. That I can think of.
Even in a couple of... we went... Oh, you can actually. It's going a bit back. But that York game, we lost 3-0. I remember thinking at the end, I was like, how the fuck have we just lost that 3-0?
Yeah. That was just the mad one, wasn't it? Where like a few heads have gone. We got a man sent off that day, didn't we? Like, we lost our heads a little bit. Oh, yeah, exactly. So you've just... It's just one of them things. But we've not been... Every game has been a close game. Win, lose or draw.
Yeah.
So you just... You've just got to take it sometimes. You're not going to win every game. Even Chesterfield ain't won every game.
Lost to us.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I mean. It's like, just try and enjoy it. I can't remember. I think we might have had two.
Yeah. Well,
my funniest moment of the season is when we released that team sheet and it just said sub.
Yeah.
Like single sub.
That was good. I did not. That was funny. Yes, I guess quickly going on that. Going back to the Kev thing. I mean, I think he's well within his rights to basically have a little pop.
Yeah, by the way, you're fair game because you're stood, but also because you've paid money to buy a ticket for something. And you think that the manager or the players or whoever, you think they're fair game. If you wouldn't expect a response. Don't say it. Because that just proves you wouldn't walk up to him in any sort of one-to-one setting and say it to him. Because you'd expect a response speaking to someone face-to-face. So if you're not going to like the response, then just shut up. But this is something I don't think Kev's got a lot of patience for that sort of thing. And I can't blame him because he went through it enough as a player.
Yeah. He's so protective of his players. You know, I've seen people have a little dig now saying, because he came out yesterday to me and said, it was a poor performance, not good enough. But actually being positive, it's still a clean sheet and it's still unbeaten. And it's like, we need to be beating teams like this. And he's like, mate, he knows that. Yeah. But he's actually protecting his players.
He's trying to find the positives.
Like, rule one of like man management, if you know what I mean, keep your players on side.
Protect the players.
Protect the players. As much as
there's no doubt that he's obviously said something completely different in the changing room. He probably has addressed certain things that he wasn't happy with because he admitted that the performance was under par, not the standards that we've set for ourselves. But he's not chucked anybody under the bus.
No, know, he's not that. I say he's been there himself, and it's whether people would like that or not. It's almost like it's modern day management as well. It's you know, you see him on the sidelines. He's digging players out on the sidelines. If you get what I mean? You know, he's biting some players when they're not doing what they're doing. You know, he gets on Noor quite a bit because I think he's. Nor sometimes picks up the wrong areas. I think he's like, you
it's
need
the
to be
expectations,
over
though. He knows it'll be a case of, look, it's a bit of a Sunday league shout, the way I'm going to say it, but you're better than that. Yeah. He knows. He sees these players day in, day out. He knows the levels that they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a moment in the Dorking game. When I say a moment, it was quite obvious, but. Probably more first I noticed it. Well, I say I noticed it. Someone else noticed it, but I didn't pick it up. I saw it, but I sort of didn't twig with me. And it was basically, I think they were playing their three at the back. And I'm pretty sure it was something like we were almost like trying to set a bit of a trap on their left side centre half. And it was like every time he got the ball, I think Kev wanted Waldron to press him, to send him long. And he just wasn't doing it. I don't think he'd understand it. I don't think he would be. And every time that geezer got the ball, we had Akers. And you could see Kev was like absolutely bollocking him. I'm pretty sure it might not have been exactly that. I might have been misreading what was trying to do, but it seemed to be like, as soon as he got it, send him long. And he weren't doing it. And Kev was absolutely bollocking him. You know, it's that sort of, you know, that's.
Yeah, he won't shy away from stuff like that. He's no, shrinking violet on the touchline.
That's not following a team instruction. That's not getting the ball passing backwards and then Kev going, why have you done that? You know, for fuck's sake, forwards, all that nonsense. That's actually him saying, well, your instruction is you need to close it down. You're not doing it. So, mate, it's like,
you should know your role.
Yeah, it's different. That's almost, that's a team instruction. I'm telling you to do it. You're actually not doing it now. You know, that it's different. You know, I can't stand Jurgen Klopp. He's an absolute twat of a geezer, right? Protects his players, mate. Massively protects his players. I reckon anyone that plays
almost too much, if anything,
would love to play for Jurgen Klopp. Yeah, I reckon anyone would say no because he protects his players. Doesn't ever blame player. Will always say some stupid nonsense.
He'll blame everything, but
yeah, and it's the same sort of thing. It's that man management level. It's just I think we've had enough of that. But I mean, just really quickly, what he said wasn't even that bad. Wasn't even that bad.
What Kev said?
Yeah, it wasn't even. I couldn't even say.
I don't know.
It was just basically like it was almost like a, can we just stop telling players to fucking shoot or forward or.
Yeah, oh, no, I heard that. It was on the radio, wasn't it? Yeah,
it's basically what he's saying. He's like, can we try and understand how we're playing?
It was Dion, wasn't it? And it was like, he's had a shout from, he's 35 yards out and he's got a shout to shoot. Just keep the ball.
But not that. I'm not joking. Because I remember the exact same moment. We've all gone through it, like us sort of six, whatever it is. And we've heard it. All six of us have basically gone, don't shoot.
Because it was one of them. I remember the instance in the game. He's like, he's picked up the ball like just after the halfway line. He's took a big touch. No one has closed him down. And then there always is that little half second in your brain where you're like, oh, should I have a little dig here?
But the thing is, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, and I don't think that was the instance that Kev was necessarily like making a point. I know he used that as an example, but for me, I think it is that it's the forward, it's the little groan when the ball goes backwards when they think it's on, and it's like, I don't mean to. Yeah, this comes across as such a dickhead thing to say, but I don't think some people or the majority of people played football.
They haven't. They haven't. It's really clear.
I was shit. I'll be honest, a terrible player, right? I know when there's a pass on. I can look at the bin and be like, that pass is on. Sometimes I've been, oh, that was on there. I said, yeah, he probably should have done that. The amount of times it would be like, I'll play that. And I'm thinking, mate, he's not sending anything to Dan. Like, do you know what I mean? Iniesta isn't spotting that pass. Like,
yeah, you ain't playing FIFA. I think there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, we got a very loyal fan base and we got a big fan base, which is great, but there is a difference to just being a football fan because, you know, you've got something to do on your Saturday afternoon, and that's not me saying it makes you any less of a fan that you've not fallen in love with it the same way that the next person has or whatever, or that you're very passionate about it, but there is a difference to people that actually know football.
like understand the game of football. There is a difference, and there is a lot of people that sadly don't. And with certain things like that, they do make themselves look a little bit silly.
I say it's hard to not come across and sound like a bit of a dickhead when you say it.
Yeah, it's a bit pompous to say.
Yeah, I'm gonna mention like Jack Bridge here because he's been coming under for a lot of criticism this season for whatever reason. Well, I know what the reason is, and we'll quickly brush over that. So he's got X amount of assists. Probably should have more goals. In fairness, if that was a criticism, I'd understand that. If someone said, "I think he needs more goals," fair enough. But the whole needs to release the ball quicker, cuts in too often. That's sort of stuff. More. I want to admit what you're saying at that point, though. To be honest with you, is if you're basically saying he'd get more assists if he put the ball in earlier, you're basically saying he'd get more assists if he was a better player.
Mm.
That's basically what you're saying, right? So if he was a better player, he wouldn't be here.
He wouldn't be here.
Right? So be frustrated, right? Get it. I get it. I totally get it. It can be frustrating when you watch something and you feel like it's broken down. You feel like we've killed an attack off or whatever. We do that, by the way. We've done it plenty of times where you look and you go, we're a bit braver there. We take the gamble. We might get through there on a counter. Understand it. But the amount of times Jack Bridges got an assist because he's cut back and then puts it in and we've got an assist. Or he's put the ball in, someone's headed it across and we scored from it.
It's like,
I don't get it.
It's like people are just expecting that we've put a cross in, it should be a goal. You put a cross in the box, it should be a goal. Jack Bridge, for everything that you've just said, and it's all true. But he, aside from all of that, he would also have more assists if balls that he's put in the box would get put in the net.
he'd probably be on about 50 assists, and that's not a joke. He's put he's put the ball in some great areas this season, some great areas.
And there's been no one there.
I admit, a lot of times, they do come when he's gone, you know what, I'm going to play it on my left foot. I'm not going to cut that. I'm going to put it in an area. But as you just said, no one's there. So let's think about why is he cutting that?
He's keeping it.
He's keeping the ball.
He's keeping possession. Mate, there was very similar criticisms used to get said about Mark Gower.
Mark Gower.
He went on to play in the Prem.
Do you know what I mean?
All right, admittedly, not on the wing. But he went on to play in the Prem. But and after Freddie, for those few years, he was always our second top goal scorer. And he would have got a lot of assists. He got a lot of assists for Freddie's goals. But he used to get very similar criticisms. Oh, he cuts back too much. Like, cross it more. Like,
yeah.
It's...
Yeah, we're not talking mad about bad players in the team. You know, we've got some very good players for the level we're at. When they're on it, they're on it. But they have their days, we've said whether they're not, and we just need to understand it. We can make Rootsall such an intimidating place to go next season. You know, the team can be that good that they're battering teams on it. I nearly said we're battering them off it. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it like that. But, you know, but where teams are like, I don't fancy this today. Oh, they're a good team.
Yeah, I don't want to go.
I'm going to get abused for 90 minutes. You know, bring back the days where we used to abuse the opposition players for 90 minutes. We abuse our own now. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know. It's honestly, it's mad, isn't it?
Let's start batting our team. Like,
we got a very... I know in this league they are a bit much of muchness for this, but we've got a very old school ground. It's very close to the pitch. You can hear everything.
You can hear everything. When players say they can't
make it work to your advantage, you can hear fucking everything in Rootsall. Absolutely everything. Our mate, I won't mention his name because he's fresh off a ban. He made Dan Mooney cry about a month ago because he got right in his head and he heard every word.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's what
it is. Make it uncomfortable for opposition players rather than battering our own players. Yes, it's not very sporting, but it's gamesmanship.
Oh,
and
mate,
you think,
I'm all
and
for
you
it.
Think it. And you think it wouldn't happen to us at an away game?
I'm all for it, mate.
You think it wouldn't happen to us?
But, I mean, don't get wrong. People that sit where we are in that East End, they probably think, oh, these are at it again. But, mate, I'm on the line of kickoff. I'm on him. I'm shouting it offside at everything. When their geese is clear on, I'm shouting.
Just a quick
one. There's
that,
been a couple of instances this season. There's been a few instances this season where that lineman's put offside, like, and we've all gone, he's fucking miles offside. And we've gone, he's put his flag up there. We've all done it, right? It probably isn't that. But what I'm saying is, it's just the left back. How many times have we battered the opposition left back?
Yeah.
Or the wing or whatever.
And then the next thing you know, he's shivved one out of play.
Yeah. And it's like Dan Mooney being the prime example. Well, I'm obviously not saying that we're taking credit, by the way, for players. I mean, but what I'm saying is we can have a big part to play next season. Like, we've got to have
a
good football
as
in it.
As a fan base.
Of course, you've got to have a good football in it. You know, so to sort of get behind it and then make it enjoyable. But mate, we can make that a bad place next season. I think the answer at Rootsall, since he got announced that Kidderminster game, the games I went to pre then, which of course I was on like a little bit of a, as you said, like a self imposed ban, had a few freebies. When it got announced in about October time, I did start to go back.
Done a few away games were different.
Yeah, yeah. Ever since that Kidderminster game, the atmosphere at Rootsall have been absolute dog shit. I don't know if it's because we think it's gone through. I don't know if it's because everyone's still sort of a bit weary of it, which would make sense. If that's the case, it's fair enough. But honestly, I thought the games pre-takeover, I thought the atmosphere was brilliant when I went to them. Honestly, I thought
because it was brilliant. I think what has gone for me, the way I look at it, is the us against him mentality. Yeah. Because the mentality now is he's gone. Which is we spoke about at the start of this. He ain't gone nowhere yet. But even then, I'm not saying that I still want everyone chanting "We want Martin" for 90 minutes because that would get a bit tedious.
No,
and it was pretty toxic. But come on, like we've seen you're all like incredibly vocal, passionate fans. But are you only going to turn up and create a good atmosphere when there's something to moan about? When there's something like bad happening, just channel that energy in a different way. Because the atmosphere since the turn of the year has been terrible.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't understand it.
I think it is because everyone thinks it's done. It's like, my work here is done.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's been shocking.
I know a lot of people that go in that W, but, you know, we literally know, like, Dan on the drum. You know, we're mates with Dan, you know what I mean, and stuff. And we know other people that go in it, but they don't know. And a few of them listen to this as well. So I'm not having a go at them, stuff. You know, it's just strange. I don't know. We've tried to get chance going in the East, and I mean, you get looks as if to say it shut up.
So you don't do that in here, mate.
Yeah, I just find that a bit strange.
We don't do that over here.
Yeah, we've got a part to play next season, I think, and you know, let's try. Yeah. I don't know if that means the club have got to put something on for us. Like, what do I mean by that? You know, do they do cheaper season tickets? They're not going to do this, but cheaper season tickets to sort of give us a bit of an incentive and make it a feel good factor, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it needs to do something like that to sort of get us on side again. Even it doesn't have to, by the way. It shouldn't have to, but maybe that's what it needs. I don't know. But it just feels like we need a bit of a lift for whatever reason. We, as a crowd, are a bit deflated at the moment. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I think this will sort of bring everything full circle, wouldn't it? But what would massively help?
Well, yeah.
Is the takeover actually going through and being completed? Yeah. That will give everyone that lift again.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe it is that. Maybe once it's done, you know, they say April, May, whatever it is, and it gets announced, you know, maybe all some, yeah, we're all tweeting and stuff, and you know, you can see like the excitement building, and then we go from there. That'd be great. Let's say next season.
Yeah.
You know, you're not gonna win every game, but you know, the pressure's on, the expectation is as high as it's ever been, because the expectation is gonna be to win the league. Simple as that. That's the expectation from the league now. Whether the players and management like that, well, that's the job you're in now. And with all, you know, Kev made a point about you know, players sort of doing the club a favour and not the other way around. he's bang on. You know, Southampton shouldn't be in the National League. So if you don't like that pressure, if all of a sudden you can't handle it, well, you better leave, to be honest with you.
No, it was after I think it was the Dorking game when I was driving home and I had the radio on. I thought Paul Clark absolutely nailed it. And it was along the lines of, look, because of reasons that we all know about, we're kind of going to have to write this season off again. Be amazing if we could get in the playoffs this year with all the adversity that we have faced, but let's face it, it's going to be unlikely. We lick our wounds and we go again properly next year. But next year, a club like Southend United, from a clean slate, no transfer embargo, no points deductions, a clean slate, club like Southend United in the National League should be going out and trying to win that division. You don't set out to try and get in the playoffs. you end up in the playoffs as a backup plan when plan A hasn't worked out.
But absolutely.
Club like us, hopefully a clean slate in the summer, we go and we try and win that title.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
No, I thought we nailed it.
Be interesting to see how the players handle it next season, in fairness. It's a different pressure.
Yeah, because it's just a complete different kind of pressure, complete different kind of expectation.
Different, like you said, almost going back to the atmosphere. Yeah, the us against him. Yeah, the players had that in as well. You know, they were
100%. 100%. There was a massive, like, fuck you at the start of the season.
Yeah. You know, every game, I mean, no player goes out and in that sense doesn't give 100%. But, you know, mate, this might even be a controversial take here. I don't think it is. But when, obviously, before the takeover, it was clear every player was giving their absolute all in that sense. It was clear that, but they were leaving nothing out there. You know, it was all, you know, it was they were giving their all. And since the contracts have gone out, since the takeover has gone through, that sort of stuff, there has been that sort of 1-2% drop off. Now, I don't think that's a purpose thing, by the way. I just think that that's probably like just natural. You know, I don't think you're gonna, there's gonna be a subconscious drop off there, I think. You know, you're fighting for your life. You're either fighting for your future in that sense as a footballer or your future at the club. Either way, it's the same difference, really. And then, obviously, if takeover gets announced and you get a new contract, you can relax. That's rightly so as well. You know, I've said they've got enough credit.
Security to bank. Again.
Yeah, you've got that security. Now, you can go, God for that. Let's calm down. You know, that's not me saying that they're purposely not trying, by the way. I'm just saying it's that the mentality changes. There's a natural drop-off, I think. I think that's absolutely normal and understanding. You probably can't afford to do that often, though, next season. Next season, a 0-0 draw against Woking, who are like 19th, wherever they are, or 17th maybe, whatever it is, that would be a poor result. It's a poor result anyway, but next season, that would be a bit like, that shit. You know, that's I'm not going to say it's not on, but or if we're going to be winning the league, you need to win that. And that's how it's going to be.
I think there's definitely evidence of, I agree with what you're saying. There has been a drop-off for whatever reason. I don't think it's deliberate. I just think it's natural because I don't think you would have been able to keep up those standards that you'd all set for yourselves like that.
Because, and that's what I'm getting at,
I think what has happened, I noticed that in those, we had a big chunk of home games lately, didn't we? And I sort of, by the end of that little flurry, I was like, I think we're just burnt out. Like, we've still had a very small squad for all of this season. I think they're just knackered now. I think because they had set those incredible standards at the start of the season, incredible fitness levels, we are now seeing the results of maybe not having a full pre-season, not having a pre-season at all, really. And just generally not having a lot of depth in the squad. I think they're exhausted.
Yeah. I think it's more mental, physical as well. I think it's more of a physical, more of a mental fatigue than physical. Let's face it, without going a bit, without sort of sounding like a grumpy old man here, you know, playing 90 minutes for 46 games a season shouldn't be that hard in that sense. Don't you know, I'm a lazy bastard these days, but what I'm getting at is there, it shouldn't massively decrease it, but I think almost it's just a mental block now that's getting sometimes in certain games, certain situations where there's a mental block. And it's just it's overcoming that. That's how I'm seeing it anyway. You know, I've not once watched us and gone, we've given up there. Even yesterday I didn't think that. I just thought we were way off the pace. I didn't think we were close to second balls, I didn't think we were picking up loose balls, like we was off it.
Well, I mean, we've just sat there and we've spoke about the drop off in the atmosphere from the fans because potentially it's just that massive collective sigh of relief that a sale of the club has been agreed. Like, we can say that much, it's been agreed. So maybe it's just something similar that's happened in the dressing room. Like, it's just a huge sigh of relief.
Yeah.
It's not an active, you know, oh great, I can take my foot off the gas now and I can start taking the piss. Like, because we've seen players take the piss before 4 or 5 years ago.
That's the key.
That isn't what's happening now. They're still trying. I just think, like I said a couple of minutes ago, I just think they're knackered.
That's the key for me, mate. You've just said it there, and I've said this in another chat with some of a couple of boys. It was we've seen players not try, and my God, was that obvious? Yeah. Was that obvious that they weren't trying? That's not what these do. These aren't like that. You can tell that these players aren't like that. I think these players not only got too much pride, but they probably got too much ambition.
Yeah.
I don't think players there are going, oh, it's all right. You know, you get the comments on the beach and all that sort of stuff. As we're saying, it might be that they're going, right, we're safe, right? But it's just, it's a coming together, everything. It's like, thank God for that. Let's go for the next season. That's what I think it is. I think it's that. Just quickly, well, I'm going to mention two more things, but first one being just really quickly, I forgot to mention this because you mentioned his name actually, and I was going to mention, I forgot. What do you reckon is going on with the Scott Morris contract?
Well, we must have offered him something.
Yeah, no, we have.
Because I can't. We're surely not going to release him. So,
No.
I reckon
best right back in the league for me. Or right back.
Yeah. Me too. So I reckon we've offered him an improved contract and he wants a bit more, whether that be length of contracts or wages.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
I hope I'm wrong. I've got a feeling he's going to leave. I've got a feeling that, let's say, I think he's certainly once Chester will go up, for me, he's the best right wing back in the league. Mm-hmm. I think there'll be certain clubs that would have monitored that. And we'll be looking at that and thinking we'll have a bit of a free transfer. I hope I'm wrong. And maybe, as you said, maybe that's why he's holding out for more money or whatever. If that is the case, we don't know. Speculating. But I don't know. I've just got a feeling he's going to leave. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. But just seems to have been... He's the only one where it's been made public that we have offered him. I think it's public anyway, that we have offered a contract and nothing's happened.
But he's obviously not signed it.
I hope I'm wrong. That's not me saying that he's playing City both, by the way. I just think there's going to be interest there and that might tempt him to take the gap, you know, test himself a bit.
Yeah.
But I hope I'm wrong. But there you go. That's my take on that. So we've actually got Solihull Tuesday. So that was it when I'm playing? Is it 4 games in 10 days?
Yeah.
Or we obviously Saturday was play, so another 3 games
which
there.
Which is a bit of a slap, isn't it?
Honestly, the National League, oh, absolute. They ain't got a clue, have they, really?
No.
They ain't got a clue. For what it's worth, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. Not a problem, but the 10-point deduction for me was what it was. They gave us their sort of rules.
Well, we were warned.
That's what I mean. People were going to dispute that and say, well, they're not allowed to do it and all that. Well, let's dispute that in the court of law then, whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, we got told and that was that. But when we could literally play this game, I think the week after next, whenever it is, when we can do that, and they're not allowing us to, I mean, it's an absolute disgrace, I think. Four games in 10 days.
Yeah.
When you don't have to do that. If there was the fixture backlog, I get it. We don't have to do this. Oh, but yeah, they're an absolute joke. But yeah, so, Solihull, they're a decent outfit, Solihull. I know we batted 5-0, but I think that was one of them days where everything we did went right and everything they did was wrong, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to get the same Solihull.
Yeah, I mean, this is one, although they're decent, I think to make the unbeaten run impressive, it is one you've got to go and win. Although they're decent.
Yeah.
I think if also you turn around and win this 11 games, like 7 draws, it does sound a bit crap or whatever it is. So it's one we've got to
win. That's a Phil Brown unbeaten run, that.
Yeah. And probably one, in fairness, if it was still around, I'd have a guy in for it. So
no, it would. No, like, mate, you're just stat padding here.
But you know, let's see. I'm not really going to comment and say that I think the result's going to be this. They're a decent team, so they are. I think it would be interesting to see if we can beat these. They're obviously trying to cement their place in the playoffs. I think if we can get a win against like a playoff chasing team this end of the season, it does show that we're still, you know, trying and we're competing, you know. So got that Ebbsfleet on the Easter Friday, and then is it Boreham Wood on that Monday?
Bank Holiday Monday, yeah, I think it
tell
is.
You what, just before we end, let me end it on that Ebbsfleet. I think, you know, it'll get some negative reviews in Ebbsfleet, I think, because of the stadium. But you know what, it actually ain't a bad ground. But the number of fans we're gonna have there is horrible.
Yeah, it won't work.
It's actually not a bad little ground
when there weren't a lot of people there.
Yeah, it's actually not a bad bit of ground, but yeah, there's that. I would love nothing more than for us to pretty much seal Boreham Wood relegation. That would be, I would take that
today. I'd take that over going up this year.
That would be unreal.
Can we do that? Are they
They're in the relegation zone.
Oh, they really are. Oh, that'd be fucking hilarious.
That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? So
that's poor. They've gone from playoffs last season to getting relegated.
Yeah.
No, you've just been fanned out, haven't you?
Well, I mean, yeah. Isn't this the season where they started adding on all the extra time? Was that last season now? Where they started adding on all the extra time? It was this season, wasn't it?
It was this season, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I reckon the first probably month or two of the season when we were playing for 3 hours, they probably went, we can't do this. We're going to have to keep the ball now and be footballers. And it's obviously gone to shit.
And they play like a football team. Any reason why they've lost 6-0 to Barnet?
Hey?
They've lost 6-0 to Barnet. I'm looking at some of their results.
But Barnet are decent, but my God, yeah.
That's the second team Barnet have. But they beat Dorking 6-0 yesterday.
Yeah.
You see his interview?
Yeah. It was good, wasn't it? That's the only... You know what? I don't have a problem with that, obviously, though.
It's his club.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like a normal club. Not to talk on there, but it's not like a normal club, is it? So that him coming out and publicly sort of calling his players out a bit there, it's different.
It is a bit different, yeah.
You know, and not only that, let's face it, he's going to sign players that are going to get behind that. He ain't going to sign a lot of players that won't like it because he'll just get rid of it. So,
because you know what he's like.
Yeah. But yeah, that would be, I'll tell you what, relegating Bournemouth would be, yeah, I'll take that all day. Who do you think is going down? So Oxford went yesterday.
Hopefully Kidderminster.
I knew you were going to say that.
I would really like Dorking to stay up, but I'm not sure they're going to.
Nah.
Who do I want to go down? Well, Oxford are gone. I want Borehamwood. I want Kidderminster. And I want York to go down.
Do you want York to go down?
I want you. Or Maidenhead. Do you know what? Maidenhead. Because it means I ain't got to go back there.
Yeah. I went there this year. And in fairness, I went down the front this time rather than back.
Right.
I got there relatively early. I enjoyed it a lot more, in fairness, being front, like quite literally pitch side. I enjoyed it a lot more. So,
yeah.
I would like, Maidenhead and another one I wouldn't mind seeing Eastleigh go now.
Yeah, I would like Dorking to stay up.
Ever since we went there, they started chatting, like, what do you think of shit, Southend? What do you think of Southend shit? Odd. Didn't get that one bit.
It's because we're a big fish.
No, maybe. But there you go. So, fuck them. Yeah, right. probably a good place to wrap it up there. Been about 90 minutes worth, actually. Full match, so.
Yeah.
And I've got to edit now, 3 edits, because if it sounds a bit shit, my computer decided to freeze twice. So
We kept losing Eden. There was a couple of times I was just looking at him thinking he was staring at me, but he dropped out. Not sure what's been happening.
Yeah, so it's going to sound a bit pieced together, I think, but it should work. It should work. I mean, if I have to edit it down so it's something ridiculous, then it is what it is. We'll get something out.
You'll be all right. Yeah, exactly. We'll get something out.
We are going to do a... I'll tell you what. Not, I am going to end it, but I'll tell you what. We should have sponsored one of them awards. We should have done it.
Yeah, I know.
I tell you what, the Custer Spat Goal of the Season Award, it's got a ring to it, I tell you. It really has. That sounds good. You should have done it. Maybe next season. But
yeah.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll wait until the end of the season now.
Getting early for next year.
Yeah, you'll probably be a bit busy and that sort of time. But I think end of the season we can just talk positives really and then talk about the good bits. The good, the bad, the ugly, and then talk about moving forward and almost do what the club have done with them awards. So we'll do our own version to see what we can.
We've done that last year, didn't we?
Yeah, and we'll just go from there really. So that'll be our next one, probably about May-ish, reckon, May time.
Yeah, month or so. Maybe just after.
After we won the playoff final, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a good time to wrap it up.
And Kidderminster got relegated.
Yeah. Do you know what? On him, keep doing this. I will end it. On him, do you know what? Fair play. Yes. Although they are still down there, he has turned them around. I'll give him that. Anyone I wouldn't want in a relegation battle as a player, or certainly someone that's gonna switch quite easy, it'd be him. Yeah. So he's obviously gone in there.
They've drawn 4 games in a row, though, so they're 1 more away from getting the coffee machine turned off.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing, though. It might even be done already. Maybe that's why it's 4 in a row now.
Yeah, that's why it's gone.
But, no, fair play. So that's the most Phil Brown praise I will ever give, by the way.
Yeah, that's more than I'm going to give him.
Clip that moment. All right. Anyway, yeah, Thanks for listening.
I will caveat that just by saying, Phil, I still think you're a twat.
Oh dear. Well, anyway, thanks for listening to this. if it sounds shit, we do apologize.
We don't. You knew what you were listening to when you clicked on us.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Anyway, yeah. See you later.
See you later.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.